Good evening. Welcome to Left, Right and Center. I'm Vishnu Shom on the show tonight. The special session of Parliament begins, but if you thought that by now you would know what the session is going to be all about, why it's been called a special session, then think again. Today in Parliament, the Prime Minister spoke about historic events as our MPs move from the old Parliament to the new one tomorrow. But on the all-important question of whether there'll be a dhamaka set of legislations, we still don't know. There's been a meeting of the Union Cabinet on this, which ended just a little while back, but there is no statement which usually comes out of a cabinet meeting, therefore no clarity on what will be adopted, which is why there is open speculation. Will there be an OBC reservation bill? Will the women's reservation bill be passed? A bill perhaps on one nation, one vote. What about a bill to change the name of the nation? No one knows so far. We'll be looking at what the possibilities are on Left, Right and Centre. At 1:30, a special report from Kota in Rajasthan. The spate of student suicides continue. We bring you my colleague Harsha Kumari Singh's special investigation into why this nightmare never seems to end. But first, here's what the Prime Minister had to say in Parliament. Remember, starting tomorrow, this will be called our old Parliament.
Sansad ka ye satra, is parshvabhumi mein sansad ka ye satra. ये सही है कि सत्र छोटा है लेकिन समय के हिसाब से ये बहुत बड़ा है ऐतिहासिक निर्णयों का एक सत्र है.
Well, joining us now, Dr. Abhishek Manu Singhvi. He's a three-time MP, senior leader of the Congress, Supreme Court lawyer. Thanks, sir, very much for being with us. So, Dr. Singhvi, are you any closer to knowing what's going to happen tomorrow in Parliament? What's going to be adopted? What's not going to be adopted? Because it's all speculation now, it seems.
Well, I'm quite excited and curious and eager to go on and see the new building. As you know, a lot of us haven't seen it. But that is precisely my objection, so what you're saying. You know, it's great to have this new session, even for a short while. Why should you and I and everybody, the whole nation, be guessing till the last minute? I mean, for example, take the women's reservation bill. There wouldn't be a person happier or a party happier than my party if it was to be done. But why should we have a cloak and dagger or a cat and mouse approach to this? Why? Just see the sequence. About 3 weeks ago, this special session is announced. For the first two of those 3 weeks, you are not told exactly what is the agenda. You revel and rub your hands with glee with the speculation going on in your media about whether there'll be an earth-shattering announcement, whether there'll be a demonetization two or three, whether there'll be things like that. And you don't know what's happening. Then you get an agenda which has four bills. Then you get a new agenda which is eight bills, with many of the old four bills vanished. You do not have in this current agenda any mention of the women's reservation bill. You tantalize the whole world by adding a sentence at the end. This is not exhaustive. We can add something new. So clearly, you know, you have the tantalizing residual legacy of a topic. Now, the point is, these are good things you are talking about, women's reservation bill, etc. We will only contribute, we'll be constructive. On this, probably 70 or 80% of the House will be at one side. Why not take us into confidence? Why not reveal things before? Why not be, you know, taking us along? If you're not doing it, you can be equally clear about that. And lastly, on this particular bill, all said and done, we got it passed through Rajya Sabha.
Yeah.
Today, you are bringing it on the last year, 6 months before your elections. Now, whether it's some histrionics or whether there's sincerity, I don't know. But for 9.5 years, you did not do it.
Dr. Singhvi, but there are other bills as well. Which could come up. In the buzz is there's the OBC bill, up to 25% of all seats in the Lok Sabha and state legislative assemblies could be included as part of this OBC bill. The Uniform Civil Code is something which is also being looked at. And then, of course, there's open discussion on whether there'd be talk, I'm not sure it'll entirely be legislation, on whether the name of our country has to change. So where does the Congress Party stand on a few of the other ones?
Three or four points very quickly, Shom. Number one, I'm a member of parliament, third term. We all got this message. Roughly the bills which are listed now superseding your earlier parliamentary bulletins are the Repealing and Amending Bill 2022, the Post Office Bill 2023, the Advocates Bill 23, the Press and Registration Periodicals Bill 23, Senior Citizens Welfare Bill 23, the Constitution STST Order, three of them, which are basically orders which extend certain reservations. Now, right. In this list, which is on the eve of tomorrow or day after, you do not have two or three of the names you just took.
Yeah.
UCP Women's Reservation. Does it not make out my cat and mouse game point? Secondly, how does one prepare? How does one participate? How does one contribute? How does one take a stand? And thirdly, tomorrow is not a working day in terms of bill passage. Tomorrow is a day of inauguration, celebration, some kind of festivity inside the new house. You've got actually Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. Can you pass the kind of momentous bills you're talking about? Last point.
That they want to pass it. It could just be about introducing these bills.
That's the point. You revel in the fact, you meaning the government, that you are keeping people guessing. You are keeping it on tenterhooks, uncertainty. What is the national secret about telling you 2 days before the end of the session? We are 3 days away from the end of the session. What you prepare to do? And again, let me tell you, some of the speculation is unwarranted and actually baseless. I don't think anything which requires a constitutional amendment, and to my mind, certainly a one election, one nation concept, whatever you call it, does require a constitutional amendment. Possibly the UCC will require. Possibly one of the other things you are mentioning may require. None of them can be done in the kind of time frame we are talking, number one. Number two, where is the approximately 360 cutoff mark for you as the government, even with a majority of 303? You can poach, get, pressurize, collect, whatever, two or three other parties. But can you bridge the gap from 303 to 360? This is Lok Sabha, mind you. You come to the Rajya Sabha, it looks even more distant. And some of them, possibly the one election, one nation thing, possibly, we don't know, may require further ratification by states. So I think some of this is idle talk. This speculation is brewing because you like it to brew. Because you like there to be...
All right, so it's some sort of a political strategy, perhaps. I'll ask the BJP about that in a moment. But before I let you go, sir, Dr. Manmohan Singh, I believe, will be speaking at a special function tomorrow. He hasn't spoken in public for a very long time. Do we have a broad theme about what he's going to be speaking about?
No. It's fitting that a former prime minister is asked to speak. There aren't very many former prime ministers around. So I think it's good that he's speaking. He will, of course, always, as always, very sober, very constructive. We don't need to speculate on what he'll say. He'll talk about parliament. He'll talk about the journey for 75 years. And he'll talk about constructive suggestions.
All right. Well, Dr. Singhvi, thanks very much. I'm afraid I don't have very much to ask you because we simply don't know. We don't really know what's going
on.
We could have a huge debate on each of the bills that I named, but we don't know if it comes up at all. So we'll have to wait and see what happens.
Such momentous things are going to be decided by ignorance till the eve of the day or at least 2 days before they happen. That's not very good for democracy or for parliamentary democracy.
Right, Dr. Singhvi, thanks very much. Rakesh Sinha, Rajya Sabha MP of the BJP, joins us. Dr. Sinha, why the silence? Why the sense of being, of keeping a secret? Let's face it, at one level, that the government is, or the BJP is, trying to keep its cards close to its chest. The opposition is asking why. What is the answer?
The parliamentary bulletin has been issued. Each and every parliamentarian follows that bulletin. And that categorically mentions the bills which are going to be introduced in the parliament. Moreover, in democracy, it is right of the media and even the common citizen to speculate the future course of the action. And that is quite natural. But as far as the speculation is concerned, and people are saying that why not cabinet decisions have been revealed. Cabinet meetings are very confidential. That the tradition must be maintained. You remember once the cabinet decision was the way jo Rahul Gandhi ne page phaad diya tha cabinet nirnay ka, we all have seen. So therefore, during the parliamentary session, any declaration by the government must be and should be inside the house, not outside the house, before the press or before the people.
No, but is that legally tenable,
sir? This is the decorum and
sir?
Tradition of the parliamentary is democracy.
That, is that constitutional and yeah. is it part of parliamentary tradition in our country that even a day before there is conversation or discussion on whatever it is at the government tables or wishes to discuss, the opposition is still in the dark? Or is it, Dr. Sinha, that the bills which have been listed, Advocates Amendment Bill, Press and Registration of Periodicals, Post Office Bill, etc., that's all that it's going to be?
Till the day, we know that this is the parliamentary bulletin and we are following that information we have been given. I told that in democracy there is a speculation, but you don't stress this speculation to the level that begin to harm the parliamentary democracy. First day of the parliament, we deliberated the 75 years of the journey of Indian parliament and the Indian democracy, constant assembly debates. And we all have seen the Prime Minister's speech in the Lok Sabha. Above the party line, he mentioned the people like Indrajit Gupta, who was once Home Minister and Communist Party of India's leader, that he spent 43 years in the parliament. He mentioned the name of one of the parliamentarians who remained in the parliament till the age of 93. So such a kind of experiences the parliamentarians have, and the Prime Minister has given a very lucid information about the parliament's journey. I think that is the beauty of the parliament. In the Rajya Sabha, we have seen the leader of the house, Piyush Goyalji, and other members have mentioned about the journey. And at the seventh juncture, I am sorry to say that Congress party and some opposition leader utilize the opportunity. I say misutilize the opportunity, attacking the government directly and indirectly. All the occasions, we don't require to attack each other. There are certain occasions we have to...
No, but sir, let me ask you this question, sir.
...raise before the party line.
I understand that. But let's just look at this conversation that everybody has been having. The opposition has been criticizing the government, saying that they don't know what exactly the session of parliament is. The BJP, the government, has essentially been saying that, let things appear in parliament and then, you will see what... There's nothing further that can be hidden, once it's in parliament. But my question is this, sir. Aren't you, as a parliamentarian, excited at the prospect of, let us say, a woman's reservation bill or perhaps even an OBC reservation bill? These are things which, are important for our country. Would you not, as a parliamentarian, like to see something radical in a sense?
Vishnu, this question is no longer, this answer is secret. Today there has been debate on the journey of India, political journey of India, constitutional journey of India last in 75 years. And everybody participated, all the political parties participated. We are shifting to a new building. That is a historic occasion. Why it is a historic occasion? The question which was raised in parliament since 1960s, how long the decolonized mind would work. Now this journey has been a political journey. Mm-hmm. The country got the political freedom. We deliberated the politics inside the house. But before going to that house, it's the credit of the Prime Minister Narendra Modi ji, we have abolished 1700 colonial laws, outdated laws, framed by the British Empire in the context of the colonized India. Moreover, The standing committee is deliberating and Lok Sabha has already sent to the parliament the CRPC, IPC, Indian Evidence Act. The words used, Your Majesty. The reference is the Ireland, reference is the British Parliament, the British King and Queen. And such things perpetuated. So I think that new building, tomorrow we are going to new building. That two-day agenda everybody knows. And I think that journey would be the journey for the Amrit Kaal. Mm-hmm. This means India free from colonized mind, colonial dependence on ideas, the Swaraj in idea. So we are going with the feeling of Swaraj in idea. And I just mentioned the Guardian newspaper, after Prime Minister Narendra Modi took over the reins on 18th May 2018, wrote an editorial that finally Britishers have left India. This was in the context of that India is now getting liberated from the colonial culture, colonial idea.
No, but sir, respectfully, that may all be very well. But we still don't know what we are going to be talking about at 9 p.m. tomorrow. But hopefully we will, because, you know, there's nothing wrong in being curious about what will hopefully be something path-breaking for all of us and our billion-plus citizens. Thanks, sir, very much for being with us. Let's see what finally happens in this new phase of our parliament. We've got Neerja Chaudhary and Manisha Priyam joining us now. Neerja, what's the buzz?
Look, your guess is as good as mine at the moment about the buzz. Certainly women's reservation bill, because the vice president let the cat out of the bag when he said a larger number of women now will find representation in parliament. And others have also been talking. BRS leaders are on a dharna. The Congress has also been demanding that the women's reservation bill go through. So I think it's possible that that is one thing that may come through. You've been talking about reservation for the OBCs. Now, that is something that has also been pending. You know, the Rohini Commission had been tasked to look at giving the most backward classes an equitable share. The share of reservation was hogged really by the more dominant of the OBCs, Yadavs, Kurmis, Koiris. Now, is the government going to bring that in the form of a bill? Of course, the Prime Minister's style is, as we've seen, to keep the suspense going, to keep media hopping, not to let us guess, you know, what is actually in the pipeline. So that is the way he functions. We've known that about other decisions in the past also. So, but at the end of the day, you know, one has stopped hazarding guesses as far as Narendra Modi goes and his decision-making goes.
It could be something entirely different. We have no idea. Manisha Priyam, given the fact that there would be opposition support as well. We just heard Dr. Abhishek Manu Singhvi saying that 70-80% of parliamentarians would be happy about endorsing a woman's reservation bill. It's something we've spoken about for pretty much our careers, Manisha. Do you believe that, you know, it's low-hanging fruit which the government might consider closely?
I mean, it sounds like that. Yes, the government might consider. But my own take is that it's a government that to get its votes, especially in the northern parts of the country, to the north of the Vindhyas, it has to rely on the power of the Bahubalis. Remember, Brijbhushan Saran Singh could not be acted upon. Everybody says the women's reservation bill is up on the cards. If it does sail through, I would see it as a historic moment. I also believe very much that the important points that the Prime Minister made from the Red Fort on 15th of August this time to take India towards the path of becoming a developed economy. Mm-hmm. So it's not just decolonization that Dr. Rakesh Sinha was talking about that's happening. Perhaps the old building is, something that we associated with a country that was still a developing country, a third world nation, the NAM type of politics. The new building puts India on its own seat in the global community of world leaders, the G20, the success of the G20, and marching towards becoming a developed economy. So some of the roadmap of what Prime Minister thinks will take us to become a developed economy, and those will be all very tight economic frameworks. I also believe another point that Prime Minister had said from the Lal Killa, which was that he would talk of development, but not of the politics of Tushtikaran. Now, I'm waiting to see as to which are the bills or legislation that this parliament can put forward that would be seen as opposing the politics of appeasement. Remember, that's the weapon that he has against the Congress Party. The Congress Party and its other allies, which are now together as the India allies, have partly ruled, by doing the politics of poverty, but also partly by the politics of appeasement. And I think,
but Manisha, even in Madhya Pradesh, and if you look at what the BJP has been rolling out, I mean, there are schemes, for example, in LPG subsidies, so that politics of appeasement continues one way or the other. Do you seriously think that there would be some sort of bill which is introduced to bring that down?
I don't know. I mean, that's the politics of freebies. I'm talking of the politics of appeasement that talks about a particular community identity. So the Prime Minister spoke, and therefore I'm taking clues from his words. What other ways do I have of hazarding a guess? So some amount of rolling out of the UCC may be in some states that the parliament cannot enact on, but some discussion can be done, some amount of talking about the Waqf Board bills, etc., or maybe giving some citizenship based on the CAA. Remember, the CAA is not dead. Some amount of conferring of citizenship. Now, those could be some possible ways in which the Prime Minister's promise of doing development, but no tushtikaran. Now, I think that's the thing that I'm going to watch out for. Of course, this government and the Prime Minister himself is going to ride very high on the success of the G20 and the launch of Chandrayaan, and to harp on the fact that India
But Manisha, let me jump in over here. I'm just trying to pick up a sense of what you are looking at. And I think it is intelligent the way you're doing it. You're looking at what you've spoken about at the Red Fort. You're trying to find some sort of connect for some sort of potential legislation. So let's continue with that trend of thought. Nija, do you believe that the other couple of themes or which we've looked at, whether it's the Uniform Civil Code, OBC reservation, or possibly even a bill to rename India to Bharat, are things we need to seriously be looking at?
Look, I think as far as Uniform Civil Code is concerned, maybe they've kicked that can down the road because there has been resistance from the tribal communities. And the tribal is a very important part of the constituency that the BJP has been wooing and will not want to alienate them. So I would be very surprised if it is UCC that comes. As far as One Nation, One Election is concerned, the committee headed by the former President Kovind is meeting 1 week down the line. To go in for something in this special session would be surprising when the committee will be meeting to discuss that. As far as Bharat versus India is concerned, yes, that could have resonance in the northern states where the BJP would want to consolidate its hold. You know, it had peaked last time in 2019 and would want to retain that support base, which is very difficult to do. So, yes, it could go in for Bharat versus India, though it may have a negative reaction in some parts of southern India. I would think the two constituencies they would want to focus on are women, who have anyway been a constituency of the Prime Minister. And the Women's Reservation Bill is something that no party would want to be seen to be opposing. So it would be a feather in the cap if they can get it through. Now, the question is, will they have a variant of the old Women's Reservation Bill or will they go in for the bill as it stood for? You know, one variant was that you increase the number of seats in both houses of parliament and bring in more women. It'll get more women elected to both houses of parliament. And now, of course, there is room for more people in both houses of parliament to sit there in the new building. The other thing is giving the most backward caste, but again, a very, very important constituency of the BJP. I remember a senior BJP leader before the UP election saying this to me, that we are not worried about the Jats and other communities. We are more worried about the OBCs and the MBCs staying with us. So I think that is a constituency they will want to firm up behind them. And therefore, you know what you're talking about, the OBC reservation, the Rohini Commission translated into some kind of a legal framework which delineates for the MBCs a very specific quota within the larger OBC quota. So that is something I would watch for, women and the MBCs.
All right, women and the MBCs. Well, I'd like to thank you both very much for joining us. I suspect that tomorrow, this time, there'd be a lot more detail once Parliament actually takes place tomorrow in the new Parliament building. But I think it is also important for us now to turn our attention a little bit at that entire transition. This parliament has been historic. It has, in a sense, been the soul of India. It has defined our democracy, the bills, the laws, the constitution itself. All of that which has defined India for so many decades has come about from our parliament, our Lok Sabha and our Rajya Sabha in the existing building. But tomorrow, the shift is finally going to take place to the larger and physically far more substantial new parliament. We'll be bringing you lots of images and videos of that, and of course the live broadcasts as well. And there is a sense that there will be something fairly drastic, fairly big from the government. They are holding it close to their chest right now. Let's see what happens tomorrow. But joining us at this stage, Sumitra Mahajan, the former Speaker of the Lok Sabha. Thanks, ma'am. Wonderful to have you on Left, Right and Center. As we complete the shift from the old parliament to the new parliament, what are some of your favorite memories of the parliament where you were Speaker?
Now we are going to shift to new parliament. But yes, our old parliament, it has so many memories, you know. Before we got, I think it is built up in 1927 something. So after that we got independent, and now that was for our first meeting of independent India was there in our parliament. When I joined that parliament, when I first time I went in 1989, I was there. And when I saw that parliament, it is such a huge and very beautiful. Structure is very beautiful. Mm-hmm. And parliament is also, no doubt, it is very huge. Very huge. And which we, to remember from which door we have come out, come inside, and from which door we have to go outside, something like that. Or from which door you have to enter in Lok Sabha, from which door you have to enter in Rajya Sabha. All this, to remember all these things, we took 6 months to know all these things. That is the thing about that our parliament house. But you know, after 6 months, we got used to it. And one thing is there in that parliament, we had so many big people like Indrajit Gupta or maybe our Geeta Mukherjee, like the stalwart leader of Communist Party, or so many leaders of our party like Atalji, Advaniji. We can hear them sitting behind them, I can see, in parliament. And like Narasimha Rao ji, who was knowing Narasimha Rao ji was such a person. He was having knowledge of more than, I think, 10 to 12 languages.
Sure.
He was master of those languages. And such person used to sit.
But ma'am, tell me this. What essentially changes with the new parliament building? Is it just, you know, the physical space and the new technology? What changes?
So now this is a big parliament, big house also we have. And if that was necessary, because in this now, you see, when I was there as a speaker, we had a paperless parliament. We did it. But to make it totally paperless, our all parliament members, we had to give them this laptop and all these things. But it was impossible for us. Even our parliament members was sitting, they were feeling not good while sitting in a five person bench. They were sitting like that. They used to complain to me. And that's why new parliament building was necessary. And now it has come up. So we are shifting there definitely to get up with new technology and all these things. So I'm really happy. So it is a new era for us, for India, and we are, for Bharat, it is something new, and we have to go ahead. And that's why I'm really happy to have our new parliament. Definitely, we will keep our old parliament as it is. There we can have something, people can see that also. That is also something important for us.
It's wonderful speaking to you, ma'am. Thank you so much indeed for speaking to me. Thank you very much.
Desperate to escape these last few steps, show a young boy running away from life. A life that is now a burden, escaping the city of Kota, where there is only stress and tension. This heart-rending footage caught on camera is that of a young student seconds before he died, running on the sixth floor of his coaching institute from where he jumped to his death. Kota, the city of dreams, a city that sells dreams, dreams of success. Dreams that young people aspire to of becoming doctors and engineers. Hopes of success and achievement. And in these dreams are also deathly ambitions. Ambitions that parents carry in their hearts. Ambitions that they try to fulfill through their children. Carrying the burden of these dreams and parental expectations, young children come to Kota. Some of them as young as 13 and 14 years old. And on street corners, what they see is this. Larger than life hoardings and posters that trade in success and aspiration. That promise children achievement and accomplishment. This euphoria is a clever marketing technique. Integral to the thriving business that is Kota's coaching industry.
Electrical properties में अगर बात करें तो crystal में conductivity की जो range होती है कहीं तो non-conductivity.
IIT कर रही हूँ. ऐसा कुछ नहीं है. अब जिसके लिए मैं आई हूँ वो तो मुझे चाहिए. कैसे भी करके रहूँगी. उसके लिए कुछ भी करना पड़े मुझे.
11th में आए थे अभी 12th में.
क्या करने
आए हैं? IIT के preparation. IIT के लिए तैयारी कर रही हूँ.
11th
या 12th?
पढ़ाई कैसी चल रही है?
ठीक है अभी तो ठीक है. स्टार्टिंग में बहुत प्रॉब्लम आई थी मुझे 11th में, बट धीरे धीरे करके अभी तो ठीक चल रहा है.
देखिए जब कोटा में कोचिंग स्टार्ट हुई थी तो इसका एक पैटर्न ये था कि बच्चा अपनी स्कूलिंग पूरी करता था, उसके पश्चात वो कोचिंग में एडमिशन लेता था. वो उसके लिए उसका एक प्रिलिमिनरी एडमिशन टेस्ट होता था, तो जो बच्चे योग्य पाए जाते थे उन्हीं को आगे कोचिंग जारी रखी जाती थी, और जो उस टेस्ट में नहीं होते उनको ये कह दिया जाता था कि भई आपकी इस क्षेत्र में कोई ज़्यादा संभावनाएं नहीं हैं, तो आप कुछ और क्षेत्र में जाएं या कुछ और कुछ करें. धीरे धीरे इसने एक इंडस्ट्री का रूप ले लिया. अब हालात ये हैं कि ये कोई भी बच्चा जो आना चाहे वो आ जाए. उल्टा कोचिंग सेंटर खुद लोगों को इन्वाइट करते हैं, फ़ोन करते हैं आगे से चला के कि आप आइए और हमारे कोचिंग इंस्टीट्यूट में दाखिला लीजिए.
But behind Kota's success story is another dimension. Children who can't make it in Kota's rat race drop out, often tragically. Many young students here take their own lives, and the main reason is stress. Many students who come to Kota driven by dreams of success are from ordinary middle-income backgrounds. Parents spend up to 2 lakhs per year as coaching fees, often stretches household finances. Parents may not talk about the financial burden, but children can sense it, and this often creates a feeling of guilt in young minds.
शुरुआत में मैं जब क्लास 4 या 5 में था तो मेरे चाचा ने बोला था कि इसको आईआईटी कराएंगे, और मुझे इंजीनियरिंग मतलब मशीन छेड़खानी पसंद है, थोड़ा उसमें से मन में आया था आईआईटी करना. तो मुझे जो चाहिए उसके लिए आईआईटी कॉलेज कोर्सेस जाना पड़ेगा. इसलिए
खर्चा बहुत है यहाँ पे, महंगी कोटा की पढ़ाई लगता है.
है नॉर्मल से तो ज़्यादा ही महंगी है. 1,60,000 कोचिंग में लग जाती है, और यहाँ अगर 10-10 महीना के लिए है तो नॉर्मल तो 1,20,000 तो हॉस्टल, और मंथली कुछ लगता है 2,500. तबीयत भी ख़राब हो जाता है तो बैक हो जाता है. अभी मेरे को चिकन पॉक्स हो गया था 2 महीने पहले, और उसी टाइम पे मेरा एग्ज़ाम भी था, तो कुछ चैप्टर्स छूट गए तो क्वेश्चन नहीं हो पाए.
हाउ मच कैन माई पेरेंट्स अफोर्ड, वेयर आर दे कटिंग कॉर्नर्स टू पे फॉर माई एजुकेशन. दीज आर थॉट्स दैट अफेक्ट अ चाइल्ड मेंटली, एंड देन टू ऐड टू देयर स्ट्रेस इज द बर्डन ऑफ कोचिंग एंड स्टडीज. सो रिगरस इज द शेड्यूल दैट चिल्ड्रन ऑफन लैग बिहाइंड. इफ दे फॉल सिक और आर एब्सेंट दे नीड टू मेक अप. If they miss even one class, they need to make up, catch up, put in extra hours, and this grind is overwhelming.
रात को extend करना पड़ता है पढ़ाई.
इसलिए दिन में सोते हैं.
1 घंटे. हाँ.
1 घंटे से ज़्यादा नहीं सो सकते.
नहीं, फिर क्योंकि homework बहुत ज़्यादा रहता है, तो फिर time manage करने में problem आता है.
रात को कितने घंटे सोते
हैं? 5, 4.5. जो भी न्यूज़ में आ रहा है सुसाइड का, उसका यही रीज़न आ रहा है कि वो बच्चे 2 महीना या फिर 3 महीना से कोचिंग नहीं जा रहे थे, तो वो भी तो एक उनमें भी ड्रॉबैक्स रहा कि वो खुद ही नहीं कोचिंग जा रहे थे।
17-year-old Abhishek is from Odisha. His father works as a guard. He wants to be an engineer. Abhishek tried his hand at coaching in his hometown and then he moved to Kota. His parents spend over 3 lakhs per year on him. It's a worry at the back of his mind. His classes begin at 6:30 a.m. It's a tough schedule. After classes, he rests for a bit and then again sits down with his books, often studying till past midnight. There is no place for games or recreation in his young life. All he does is study and sleep and then study again. On Sunday, there are tests and then again the week's course to manage.
मेरा क्लास तो 1:30 में कंप्लीट हो जाता है, सुबह मॉर्निंग क्लास है हम लोग का, तो आने के बाद वही 1-1.5 घंटा सोना है, मतलब खाओ के सो के शाम को उठ के फिर पढ़ने बैठ जाना है, फिर अगर हुआ तो रेस्ट लेते लेते आधा घंटा 1 घंटा का फिर करते रहना है, मतलब 12:30 तक, फिर सुबह को क्लास रहता है 6:30 से, फिर सो जाते हैं।
पढ़ाई का जो तरीका है वो समझ में आ रहा है यहाँ पे?
हाँ, समझ तो सही, पूरा सही आता है समझ, हार्ड है वो एक अलग है, हार्ड है थोड़ा लेंदी है। हाँ, सबसे दिक्कत है बुखार उखार होने का, मेरे को अभी फिलहाल एक हफ्ता पहले बुखार हो गया था 5 दिन तक, मतलब बहुत बुरा हालत हो गया था, फिर भी क्लास 1-2 दिन लगातार गया क्लास, भले वापस आ गया क्लास से आधा क्लास से, लेकिन हर दिन गया क्लास, तो भाई उसका फिर डॉक्टर वॉक्टर का सब दिक्कत, बहुत दिक्कत हुआ था उस समय, यही दिक्कत है यहाँ पर, और कोई दिक्कत नहीं है।
तो
यहाँ पे प्रेशर सिर्फ मतलब मैक्सिमम तो पढ़ाई का रहता है कि बहुत ज़्यादा ही होमवर्क बहुत ज़्यादा रहता है, बहुत ज़्यादा होमवर्क, तो वो कंप्लीट नहीं होता है, उसको कंप्लीट करते करते फिर आगे का होमवर्क, आगे का कोर्स का होमवर्क मिल जाएगा आपको, तो कंसिस्टेंस नहीं रहेंगे, मतलब ये वाला कंप्लीट नहीं करके फिर तो पीछे बैकलॉग लगते जाएगा आपका, उसका बहुत टेंशन
है। हाँ,
सबको ऐसा नहीं कि बहुत, कुछ कुछ हैं जो अपना पूरा कंसिस्टेंट कंप्लीट करते हुए चले जाते हैं, लेकिन मैक्सिमम लोग का बैकलॉग रहता ही है, मतलब पीछे का चैप्टर छूटे ही रह जाता है।
Away from home and the care of their parents, children here often fall sick. Many parents shift to Kota to help their children study and to provide them with home-cooked food and care.
जी, 2 साल से ही।
क्यों, ऐसी क्या जरूरत, और तो बच्चे वैसे ही रहते हैं सब।
नहीं, सेहत भी खराब हो जाता है ना, खाना खराब मिलता है, बासी तेल का बासी खाना।
ये इस तरह की घटनाएं होती है, इससे डर लगता है?
बहुत डर लगता है।
बहुत क्यों हो रही है, क्यों लगता है आपको ऐसा, क्या है?
प्रेशर, बच्चे को प्रेशर, अभी देखिए 11 की भी पढ़ाई चल रही है, 12 की भी पढ़ाई चल रही है, फिर टेस्ट ले लेते हैं, फिर नीट की तैयारी बच्चा क्या करेगा, 12 की क्या करेगा, फिर अपना इसका तैयारी कैसे करेगा, बच्चे को डबल बर्डन हो जाता है, फिर गार्जियन का ही हो जाता है, बच्चा बहुत टेंशन में रहता है, खुद मेरी बेटी भी टेंशन में रहती है, कम बात करते हैं उससे, गुस्सा आ जाती है,
गुस्सा आ जाता है,
बहुत टेंपर हाई रहता है उसका भी, क्योंकि पढ़ाई बहुत तेजी से ही निकाल रहा है ना।
इसे ठीक है, हम बच्चा पास नहीं किया तो गार्जियन को दबाव नहीं देना चाहिए, मेरे हिसाब से जो दबाव देने से बच्चा तो ऐसे डिप्रेशन में चला जाता है, उसके बाद फिर और उस पर गार्जियन का दबाव पड़ेगा, तो बच्चा ज्यादा डिप्रेशन में जाने के बाद तो कुछ नहीं कर सकता।
But experts say one reason for suicides is that children who should be in school are being pushed into the rigors of coaching too early. When they are too young to handle the stress or they simply don't have the aptitude to become doctors and engineers.
स्कूल में बच्चा जब पढ़ता है तो वो अपने शारीरिक और मानसिक विकास को धीरे धीरे प्राप्त करता है, मैच्योरिटी धीरे धीरे आती है। अब हो ये रहा है कि कोचिंग सेंटर ज़्यादा से ज़्यादा बच्चों को प्रोत्साहित करते हैं कि वो बहुत अर्ली एज में यहाँ आ जाए, और स्कूलिंग तो आप ये एक सर्वविदित तथ्य है कि स्कूलिंग जहाँ होता है उसमें उसकी मॉक स्कूलिंग है, उसकी डमी स्कूलिंग में पढ़ता है, झूठी अटेंडेंस लगाई जाती है और वो वास्तव में कोचिंग सेंटर में पढ़ता है। और कोचिंग सेंटर में सिर्फ पढ़ना पढ़ना और पढ़ना यही है, इसके अलावा बच्चे का और कोई डेवलपमेंट पे ध्यान नहीं दिया जाता। अब वो यहाँ आकर के और उसको एक ही गुट्टी पिलाई जाती है कि बेटा आपको पढ़ना है, माँ बाप भी यही कहते हैं, टीचर्स भी यही कहते हैं और चारों तरफ से यही शोर है। अब बच्चे का अगर मन में ये भी है कि मेरे बस का नहीं है, मैं नहीं कर पा रहा हूँ, तो भी वो इस बात को कह ही नहीं सकता।
There is no replacement for school, for teachers and friends, playgrounds and hobbies. The dry, taxing, often ruthless environment of coaching takes its toll on young minds. And that is one reason why children here take their own lives by suicide. This heart-rending footage of a young boy running to his death after a disappointing day at the Sunday test is a picture of the desperation of an entire generation, of a young boy minutes before he died by suicide. This year, there have been the highest number of student suicides in Kota. Two deaths in one day, and that too after a monthly test on Sunday. In December 2022, there were three deaths in one day. In 2022, there were 15 student suicides in the year. In 2021, the figure was 9. In 2019 and 20, there were few children in Kota due to COVID. In 2017, 12 students died by suicide, and in 2006, 10. After COVID, the suicides here have gone up by 60%. To see young lives lost, to see young hopes die, it's a sadness that touches all who come in contact with it. The police officer who is the first to reach the scene of death, who has the most difficult task of telling a parent his child is no more.
सूचना लगते ही एकदम तो शॉक्ड होता है मन, फिर भी हिम्मत करके हम पहुंचते हैं मौके पे। पहुंचने के बाद पूरे हालात की जानकारी लेते हैं और हॉस्टल वाले, कोचिंग वाले, आसपास रहने वाले उसके यार दोस्त सबसे उस घटना के बारे में क्यों घटी थी इस बारे में पूरी तय तक पहुंचते हैं। यहाँ तक घर वालों को सूचना देने में बड़ा हिचकिचाहट होती है, फिर भी हिम्मत करके घर वालों को सूचना देनी पड़ती है। घर वाले दो दिन तक आते हैं, जब तक उनके काफ़ी कॉल आते हैं, हमारी भी वार्ता होती है, तो बड़ा मतलब दुख होता है ये घटनाएं देख के।
The government is training hostel owners to give children a sense of security and comfort.
स्टूडेंट्स सर्कल टीम प्रतिदिन विभिन्न इलाकों में जो हॉस्टल्स हैं, पीजी हैं, जहां बच्चे अपना अधिकांश समय गुजारते हैं, उनके मेस हैं, हम उन सब में जाते हैं, इनफॉर्मली बच्चों से मिलते हैं और बच्चों से मिलकर कोशिश करते हैं उनसे इनफॉर्मल टॉक्स करके, स्मॉल टॉक्स करके उनके दिल की बात जानने की कोशिश करें। जो कोई डिप्रेस्ड बच्चा है उसको आइडेंटिफाई करने की कोशिश करें। इसके अतिरिक्त हम हॉस्टल्स के वार्डन्स को सेंसिटाइज करते हैं, उनसे संपर्क में रहते हैं। जो दूसरे बच्चे हैं हॉस्टल्स के, इनफॉर्मल सेटिंग्स में मेस में जाते हैं, मेस के खाना बनाने वालों से बात करते हैं, थड़ियों पे जाते हैं, वहाँ पे बात करते हैं। और हमारी कोशिश होती है कि कोई बच्चा, ऐसा बच्चा जो डिप्रेस्ड है, उसकी जानकारी हमें मिल जाए। तो इसमें हम काफ़ी सक्सेसफुल भी रहे हैं, बहुत सारे ऐसे बच्चे हमें मालूम पड़े हैं। मैक्सिमम तो छोटी कंप्लेंट्स होती है, अब बच्चे जो कई डिप्रेस्ड होते हैं वो भी हमें कॉल करते हैं कि वो परेशान है और पढ़ाई के बोझ के तले कई बच्चे हम परफॉर्म नहीं कर पा रहे, उनके फ़ोन भी आते हैं। और इस तरह करके काफ़ी सारे हमारे पास ऐसे भी कॉल आए हैं जो रियल डिस्ट्रेस कॉल्स थी। इसमें हमारी टीम तुरंत ही मौके पर पहुंचती है, पहुंचकर उनको जो भी है उनको सिक्योर करके, उनसे सारी चर्चा करके, उनकी प्रॉब्लम को समझकर उनकी प्रॉपर काउंसलिंग कराते हैं, उनके पेरेंट्स से बात करते हैं
बिना हिचकिचाहट के, बिना किसी परेशानी के। और अपन खूब इंजॉय करेंगे, बढ़िया मस्ती से, कोई दिक्कत नहीं है।
Hostel owners and wardens are being trained by professionals so they can work as counselors and spot the warning signs of a student in depression.
लगभग जो 3,500 hostel हैं और जिसमें कि 2,00,000 के लगभग बच्चे निवास कर रहे हैं, उनको प्रोफेशनलिज्म के माध्यम से ट्रेन करना आवश्यक है ताकि बच्चों के साथ में वो अच्छा इंटरेक्शन कर सके, बच्चों के साथ अच्छा व्यवहार कर सके और बच्चों को किस प्रकार से कैंपस में एक फ्रेंडली वातावरण दे सकते हैं।
घर से दूर रह रहे हैं, कोई परेशानी होती है मन में कभी तो?
स्टार्टिंग में हुई थी, अब आजकल नहीं होती, मतलब थोड़ी आदत भी हो चुकी है और मम्मी पापा से बातचीत भी होती रहती है, वो आते भी रहते हैं यहाँ पर। ज्यादा परेशानी वाली बात तो नहीं है, मतलब मम्मा पापा से भी रेगुलरली बात करती रहती हूँ, तो कुछ होता है तो बता ही देती हूँ।
पापा पूछते हैं कैसी पढ़ाई चल रही है, कैसा क्या रह रहा है, अच्छा लगता है। पर और जो टेस्ट होते हैं उसका रिव्यू भी देते हैं, मतलब कैसा क्या रह रहा है हमारा, बस ऐसा ही चल रहा है।
मेरे पापा इज लाइक माय बिगेस्ट फैक्टर, वो मेरे को बहुत सपोर्ट करते हैं। अगर मेरी रैंक कभी गिर जाती है, मेरे नंबर अच्छे नहीं आते, तो लाइक वो मेरे को बहुत सपोर्ट करते हैं।
ऐसा भी नहीं है कि बहुत प्रेशर फील होता है, अपना स्पेस लेकर ही पढ़ते हैं और
जो भी जितना कर सकते उतना देते हैं अपना।
11th में लास्ट में मेरे मार्क्स थोड़े कम आने लगे थे, पर अभी फिर से इम्प्रूव किया है।
There are 2 lakh students at a time in Kota's coaching institutes. Some of them as young as 14 and up to 18 years of age. Seeing the spate of suicides, the government has banned stressful tests. Anti-hanging devices are being installed in fans in hostel rooms. But experts believe rather than filling classrooms with children, where larger the numbers, more the revenue for coaching institutes, aptitude tests should also be made compulsory, where only those children who have the aptitude to sit for tough competitive exams should be given a place in coaching classes. Young children with hopes and dreams unfulfilled are ending their lives. Kota is extracting a heavy human price for the dreams it's put on sale. And these dreams may not come true for everyone. As a society, we owe a responsibility to our future generations. The coaching industry, for whom this is but a thriving business. The society at large, which puts a high premium on education and achievement. Parents who put the burden of their expectations on young children. And children themselves who must stop, pause and think that nothing is worth giving up your life for. With Shakir Ali in Kota, Harsha Kumari Singh, NDTV.